morning and welcome to Smashy Business. I'm Lumna Hamdan.
And I'm Farah Bashir.
And we got all the behind closed doors gossip for you guys from the Qatar Economic Forum. I'm sure you've seen all the coverage on our Instagram. It was pretty exciting. You know, Doha is Doha never fails to impress.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm excited to hear all about it.
Yeah, the architecture is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's not for everyone. Some people don't like it at all. Some people can only handle it for a short period of time. I personally adore it. It's such a fresh breath of air because it's not as hustle and bustle, fast moving as Dubai. Mm-hmm. So you get that kind of mix between Dubai and Abu Dhabi, that nostalgia, a little bit of, you know, calmness, a little bit of business savviness, networking. But yeah,
so you would advise me to go there for like a trip?
Absolutely. Do you like architecture, by the way?
Yeah.
You'll enjoy it. The buildings there are really splendid. You know, obviously Qatar, you know, they have they're not short on money,
mm-hmm.
And they have they honestly spared no expense when it came to or when it comes to some of those hotels. So the Forum was in the hotel known mm-hmm. as the one that looks like the Two Swords, kind of like a W.
Wow. Okay.
Looks like half a moon as well. Mm-hmm. So it's the Raffles and the Fairmont, and that's where the Forum was at. And it was really, really exciting. I'm going to get to that a bit later on. Stay tuned with us to hear all about it. But first, we're going to go through the headlines real quick. So Hala Insurance, the founder of Hala Insurance, which shut down, but he made the headlines, at least on Smashy Business, and people appreciated him for one thing. His name is Waleed Deeb, and he had basically taken, I believe, $5 million from investors. He shut down the company. He said there was no market fit. He returned around $1.2 million mm-hmm. back to investors. We wrote about the story. We had him on the show, and everyone was praising him for his honesty. He said there was no product market fit, and I don't want to egotistically burn investor money. At the same time, just a couple of months ago in January, he launched Call Me. A new startup of his, mm-hmm. which basically is a mentorship app. So it's Call a Mentor. How cool is that? You can call everyone from ADNOC Drilling to, I believe there are people from Washman, there are people from Kareem. It's really exciting to have, you know, that option to call a mentor.
I mean, honestly, it's amazing and needed in business, specifically for people who are trying to have their, I would say, to set up a business, you know, they often think they know it all.
Yeah.
And they often have their ego on, like, on top.
Exactly.
But, you know, at oftentimes, on the contrary, they will for sure need a lot of mentor and they need a lot of, like, help, at least a guide, you know what I mean,
exactly.
to get through to the next phase. Yeah. And that is very much needed. And that, honestly, like, honestly, is amazing. And the fact that he actually did not let his ego, he admitted, you know, when it's like it's time to step down. That's honestly as well as anyone who's successful, anyone who's, whether it's like business or whether they're investing in themselves, it's good to be like, to acknowledge like, hey, I'm not doing well
exactly.
in this part.
Absolutely, absolutely. There is strength in knowing your weaknesses, right?
True.
And it's great news for him because he's also sold Call Me. Not only did mm-hmm. he establish something that was really needed in the market, I mean, you know, I'll tell you something, Farah. When I launched my business, 971 Media House, and under that Frankly magazine, which is taking a hiatus, perhaps forever, but it was really difficult because I needed some advice. And, you know, publishing and media is a very hard industry to be in right now with social media and AI and what have you. So, yeah, love the concept behind Call Me. And apparently so did Brink. Brink is mm-hmm. Hong Kong-based. So he sold it to Brink. And we're going to actually have him on the show in 2 weeks' time. He's launched another startup. So imagine that. He's just sold Call Me, and he's working on another startup. It's almost ready. It's going to be launching in about 2 weeks. It's insane. He's raising money for it. Sorry, Waleed, I didn't give them all the info, just a little bit, just a little teaser. So Brink and Call Me, going back mm-hmm. to that story, they said in a statement that they're going to donate 100% of all the calls that are made this month to the Red Crescent.
Wow.
So it's...
Okay.
It's pretty cool. He said, as you're all aware, Call Me is the platform of choice for those seeking support, advice, and mentorship. We believe this has everything to do with the incredible value of your expertise. I can't stress enough how much we appreciate what you all bring to the table, he said. So yeah, pretty exciting. Pretty exciting stuff.
100%. You know, again, like, see, like, he just, like, showed off the most prominent qualities that any successful person would have, which is acknowledging his weaknesses,
Absolutely.
Stepping down when he needs to, and never mm-hmm. giving up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, for example, a lot of people, when they have, like, something fail or something, yeah. not fail, let's say, not work out in their favor.
They go and take a job at Smashy. No, I'm kidding. I don't see this as a failure at all. In fact, I truly believe that had I taken this
true.
Job before launching my company would have been a success,
Better.
Really, because
That's true.
I had no idea how far behind we
you
were.
Are.
And I've really learned so much about fast news and social news. And
That's true.
You know, doing journalism on online, like digitally on websites, which, according to Richard, are dying. And also, you know, I wanted to launch like a yearly coffee book, which I still think is a good idea.
Of course.
But had I known, you know, and it was the same for Waleed. He said, had I had a mentor, and that's why he launched Call Me. He mm-hmm. said, had I had a mentor, I wouldn't have failed in a lot of ways that I did with Hella Insurance.
That is true.
A little bit about Brink. It's Hong Kong based. It's a global venture accelerator. They have regional offices in MENA and India. They've invested in 241 companies across 48 countries in sectors like climate tech, agri-food, AI healthcare, gaming, and Web3. So congratulations, Waleed. Well deserved.
100%.
Well deserved.
Agreed. 100%.
Another congratulations goes to. I feel like we're on a gaming
we're
show.
We're giving awards.
Exactly.
You know, like, so the Miss Business goes to Waleed.
Yeah, Miss Business.
The first runner up is
Mr. Business. Indeed. So
know.
Waleed is a great co-host. By the way, it's not a bad idea to give out prizes on the show. But Waleed is our co-host every Wednesday. He has a startup keeper. It's pay rent now, pay later. It's for both property investors and renters as well. They've secured $4 million in equity and $30 million in sukuk. So it's a UAE-based prop tech leader. And, you know, he was at, he did a lot of investment banking. Mm-hmm. He has invested in property. He has, I think, investments in F&B as well. So he really knows his stuff. So they've secured $4 million in a pre-series funding round led by Beko Capital, which just... we saw the Property Finder story with Beko Capital. We spoke about it already. I'm not going to go too much into it. But he also got Emmy VP on boards, mm-hmm. and that's a really good one. Existing investors, Vivium Holding and Jabbar Group, are there as well. And new backers include Annex Investments and Al Qahtani Investments as well. Keeper has secured an additional, as we mentioned, $30 million in the Sharia compliance financing from Franklin Templeton Investments, bringing total raised funds to over $40 million. That's incredible.
It is.
They're going to yeah. use the capital to enhance their rental digitization in the UAE and expand its rent now, pay later solution. Brilliant for people like me who are
oh
not good
God.
At saving and definitely need those yeah, buy now, pay later,
100%.
Rent now, pay later.
I mean,
solutions.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the thing is, yeah. I think this would be really good for a lot of people in Dubai who go like, oh my God, rent is expensive, buying is expensive. You know what I mean?
I mean, it is, right? Like,
yeah.
the rents have been going up. They're a bit more steady at the moment, but they're still high.
That's true.
So,
they are.
Really, what a great concept.
But this is actually a brilliant business idea that he has started up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, kudos yeah. to him, because, like, it's not easy. Like, when a lot of, like, you can tell a good businessman from the numbers that he makes. You know what I mean? Of course, we're not going to be attaching his worth was with the numbers, but
yeah.
sadly that is the case, and you can just like tell a business is really great
mm-hmm.
when
mm-hmm.
it, you know, when you see like numbers are coming up and revenue is coming up as well, and the idea
yeah.
is just like brilliant.
Yeah, definitely. Another brilliant idea as well is happening in Egypt. I do think mm-hmm. it's brilliant. The UAE has done it with Kareem and Hala Taxi. and the RTA, obviously. But Egypt is looking at launching its own ride-hailing service in partnership with the private sector. Egypt has had, and this is really quite tragic, it has had several incidents with Uber. Harassment, attempted kidnapping, and the young lady who jumped out of the car and passed away because the Uber driver, she thought he wanted to kidnap her, and he got arrested, etc. We're not going to get into it too much, or you can get into it actually. Mm-hmm. Let's discuss a little bit. Would you feel safe taking an Uber in Egypt, in London, in Paris? Would you feel safe taking Ubers generally? Because that's a major issue for Uber and Airbnb. Sorry to keep going on and on about this, but I'm quite passionate about this because I do think these companies need to be held accountable for these things, right?
100%. So, of course, that is very sad. I feel so bad and so sorry for the girls that were victims of that. However, because we live in Dubai, and Dubai is one of the safest cities in the world.
Sure.
And we know that, when you're getting into a taxi or an Uber or any car, right?
Yeah.
It for sure is monitored. If you lose something, you get it back.
Yeah.
And if that's about things, then I wonder how the safety is for people. I'm just giving maybe that comparison so that people who are watching us can have an understanding of how safe Dubai is.
Sure.
However, because of that safety, I would never, even if it's safe, even if it's okay, I wouldn't trust going into an Uber in Egypt. Because as well, it's not only in Egypt, even in my country, you know what I mean? Even in Syria I would not feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Because, these situations do happen because the monitoring that's in our countries or that are in the other countries, they're not as severe as they are here in Dubai. In Dubai, when I'm in a hala taxi, I can see the camera.
Definitely. Qatar, by the way, is pretty safe as well.
True.
So they want to, negotiations are ongoing with a major investment company to run the app through Super Jetlines, the transport ministry's passenger buses carrier. Safety is obviously their key focus, obviously following the incident. So I'm glad that Egypt is doing that. Right, back to the Qatar Economic Forum. I don't know how much you were following us online on Smashy Business.
I was following you. I've seen all of your pictures, Lubna. I was like, I wonder why wasn't I invited?
Yeah, good point, actually, good point. Next time, there's always next time.
100%.
It was more of a, when comparing it to the Web Summit, and I know that, Richard was trying to tell me on the show when we were doing it, we did two episodes from the venue there, from that beautiful, beautiful hotel. You know that they actually have seats in the elevator, like cushioned bench in the elevators. How mesmerizing is that?
Why haven't you taken a picture? That would have been really cool.
I did. I took a picture and I took videos, and I'm going to do a couple of reels. I'm going to post them, so check them out on Smashy Business.
Let me give you a business idea.
Yeah.
If you had taken a picture, go and show it to the RTA.
Right.
And then be like, hey, let's do that. However, that much of the money should come to me.
Yeah, nice. Okay, I like it. I think we should just go straight to the hotels, Farah.
Yeah.
We should go and milk them for, for
agree.
Moving on. Aula Doudine, the co-founder and CEO of Bitwaces, said on stage at the Powered by Bloomberg Qatar Economic Forum, she said, regulatory improvements in the world of cryptocurrencies are encouraging investors to bank on the industry. There was a study, 70% of investors and professionals do want to invest in cryptocurrency, but they were kind of, worried of, obviously, the scamming that happens, that the difficulty to withdraw your money once the money is gone. She said on stage, cryptocurrency is like cash, ironically, because once the transfer is done, it's gone. If there is a scam, you cannot get it back. So that was one of the good panels. And I remember when she had just started, I think it was about, if I'm not mistaken, about 10 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. And her mentor was Fadi Ghandoud, and she did a kind of a tribute video to him, thanking him for all the mentorship that he's given her. So it was lovely to see Ola on stage so many years later, you know, at a Bloomberg forum. It was just kind of I felt proud, even though I don't actually personally know Ola well, but good for her. Noon Swade, also of Global Ventures, brilliant, really, really smart businesswoman. Mm-hmm. They were talking about AI in one of the breakout sessions, and she was saying AI is going to do more good than bad, and we need to stop talking about all the shiny AI mm-hmm. solutions that are coming out, all these, you know, fancy robots, and even the chatbots. She said there's so much more. She talked about Atabi, which started out as basically a content platform for medicine, I believe, something like that. I can't remember. Like, don't quote me on that. I can't remember the exact details. It was kind of like, I'm not going to go too much into it, but then they turned it into a telemedicine platform where you mm-hmm. can book a doctor for whatever your needs, basically.
Genius.
Really good idea. So she was uh-huh. talking about that. She said, we need to be looking at drone deliveries. We need to be looking at telemedicine. We need to, you know, vertical farming. Mm. She said the boring stuff is where we need to actually, logistics, like the boring stuff, you know, third mile delivery, that's where AI needs to happen, basically be implemented.
Wow, exactly. I mean, honestly, like, again, you know, this brings me back to something I said like earlier on the show, like right now, a few moments ago, is that business people, mm-hmm. because businessmen and businesswomen, you know, mm-hmm. they just are so business oriented, mm-hmm. and the fact that she said that, you know, like we should implement business on things that we think are not necessary. Right, things that are very like,
yeah, exactly, because we do get lost in the, you know, the shiny things that make the headlines, but then 100%. Behind the scenes, the UAE and the region are really excelling in that regard, right? Vertical farming and a lot more industries. We are going to have her on the show soon. She did express interest. We spoke to her there. So, but yeah, one last thing about the forum. It was mm-hmm. quite nice, but it was very much PR driven. It was mm-hmm. more commercial than the Web Summit. Mm-hmm. Good content. Some panels were very interesting. The breakout panels were actually more interesting than the main stage panels. That's mm-hmm. where all the gossip happens. So yeah, very much PR. Trump's best friend, Stephen Witkoff, was there. He said overregulation kills industries. He was kind of really, you know, I wouldn't say bad-mouthing New York, but he didn't have great things to say about New York. He said we're not interested in investing there anymore because it's too overregulated. Mm-hmm. He's a real estate magnate, advisor, and very, very close friend to Trump. I just saw that Trump and Biden had accepted CNN's call for a debate.
No way.
So that's going to be...
that's going to be a party.
I'm going to take out my popcorn for that one.
Oh, yeah. Help me in.
Coming up next, we have Stefan Kimmel, the CEO of M2 Crypto Exchange. It's Abu Dhabi-based. We're going to talk about that up next. So stay tuned. Thank you, Farah.
Thank you.
Stefan Kimmel, what a lovely last name, like Jimmy Kimmel.
It's the same last name. There's no relation though.
No relation. Are you a fan? Are you a Jimmy Kimmel fan?
I don't follow that show, to be honest. No.
Ouch! Oh my gosh. Well, I don't think Jimmy Kimmel is listening to the show, but
hopefully.
Yeah. Stefan, welcome to Smashy Business. You're the CEO of an Abu Dhabi-based crypto exchange, M2. And we were just talking about regulation right before the show started, but tell us a little bit about the crypto exchange. So it is a major shareholder, the major shareholder in your exchange is Phoenix Group. It's an Abu Dhabi-based crypto mining company. Recent IPO hit a $3.3 billion value in December 2023. That's major. How do you feel about the crypto space here? Do you see that a lot of people are coming to Abu Dhabi specifically to Dubai as well. We've seen so many, everything from, you know, the big AI guys to the crypto guy. Everyone is crypto bros.
Is that
an offensive term, crypto bros?
No, not necessarily. I don't consider it. I mean, it depends on obviously who says it and how it's being said, but I don't consider it offensive, no.
Okay, cool, good. So we're on the same page. How does it feel being based in Abu Dhabi, and especially compared to other parts of the world where the regulation is really being tightened around cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on. At the moment, the UAE, both Abu Dhabi and Dubai, are becoming absolute hotspots and center points of the global crypto community. And that goes back to a large extent to an overall very supportive government and basic leadership in the country is very forward-looking and open to crypto. And then we have two regulators in the country, both with the ADGM and VARA. ADGM, of course, has the oldest written regulation in the world. So the UAE had that clarity around what is allowed, what is not allowed, how to do things, how not to do things. They had that clarity much, much earlier than any other jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. That's a key point for the industry that attracts a lot of the players who come here because they know it's safe, it's clear, there are rules. And that's good for both those who offer the services as well as for investors because they also know that they're protected. And that's really what's driving it. But absolutely, I see projects coming here from Switzerland, from the US, from Europe, from Asia, from everywhere. The UAE is becoming an absolute global hub for crypto.
I'm seeing that as well. There is it's a rating agency, but they say they're not a rating agency, but they are based between Paris and London, and they're also considering coming to Dubai. They came here for one of the big conferences just a couple of weeks ago, and we were at the Qatar Economic Forum just yesterday and before yesterday, and Ola Doudin, the co-founder and CEO of BitOasis, was saying that the regulations are really attracting so many more investors to, you know, look at cryptocurrencies without having as much of a fear to go into that space. Are you seeing that here?
100%, and I think that's what's driving this wave of the new bull market. So for those listeners who don't know, Bitcoin or crypto in general obviously goes through phases. We call them the bull markets when the prices go up and the bear markets when the prices go down.
Yeah.
And we are right now probably at the beginning of another big bull run. Mm-hmm. At least that's what everybody thinks and hopes.
Yeah.
And I think one of the major differences of this current run is much, much clearer, and that's globally, much, much clearer rules and regulations to prevent negative potential things from happening and to make rules clear for everybody around. Mm-hmm. And that's really shifting the industry. Now all of a sudden have banks, Goldman Sachs, BlackRock investing in the space. I mean, BlackRock runs crypto commercials and Bitcoin commercials on national TV. We see all the major European and US banks either providing custody or even investing or offering services. Mm-hmm. So that's a major, major game changer. And the foundation to all of this is clear rules and regulations in crypto and rules and regulations being in place for crypto.
Yeah, absolutely. We still see those. I'm going to be a little bit savvy here and call them haters.
Yeah.
But they love to bash the UAE sometimes when it comes to regulations. You've got a lot of people from the US. There's, Alex of, I forgot the name of the company. I'm kind of a little bit jet lagged, but a lot of haters saying it's not actually as safe. It's more prone to scams because the regulations are not as tight. How has it been for you? And what predictions do you see in the space? Do you see the banks getting a bit more involved? They're still kind of not, you know how banks are.
Yeah. No, look, I mean, first of all, just to pick up that sentiment, I think, at least I don't hear that anymore, especially the guys from the US, they're actually very disappointed by the regulation or the lack of regulation in the US.
Mm-hmm.
And we recently had three or four major global conferences, the Token 2049, the Satoshi Roundtable.
That was fascinating.
They're all here, and you had the who's who of crypto in the country, and everybody was actually speaking negatively about the lack of clear rules in the US, and everybody was admiring the situation we have here. I mean, again, the ADGM specifically is the oldest written regulation in the world. It's one of the clearest, and whenever, because we're also expanding internationally, so wherever we say we are regulated in the UAE by ADGM, that is highly, highly respected by all other regulators around the world. So my experience with that is it's very highly regarded.
Yeah. Sorry, I meant the US authorities.
Yes. the yes guys.
The regulatory bodies. But okay, so what are your predictions? Where do you see this going? Because it seems like the sky is the limit.
Yeah. In that space. I mean, look, obviously, I can't give financial advice.
Not financial. not financial advice, but just, you know, being in the space and what are, you know, what are your future plans for M2 as well?
Yeah, look, we started about 7 or 8 months ago now in opening our services. And we are on the verge of opening more services, especially here in the UAE, to our UAE customers, and also in on our international platform. So we have a group set up where we have services offered here and internationally, and that's where we plan a lot of expansion with crypto loans, crypto lending, more what we call earn plans. So if you already have crypto, be it Bitcoin or others, you can earn interest on that. We're about to launch a payment card where you can pay in a shop with crypto and a wealth of other services. So that's a very, very busy agenda we have for the next 3 months.
Did you see that documentary on Netflix, Bitcoins? Did you watch it?
Yes.
Do you think we'll ever see that sort of card for crypto?
So look, I mean, that obviously was a scam.
Yeah, and you see that, definitely. And of disclaimer.
Course, there was a lot of that in crypto, just like you see. I mean, everybody lives in the UAE. How often you get a scam call a day, be it somebody claiming they're from MPost, somebody claim they're from their bank, asking for your Emirates ID.
And they're getting really sassy, aren't they?
It is highly annoying. I mean,
and also very entertaining if you have the time.
Yeah.
you can kind of mess with them a little bit.
That's true. I sometimes if I have some extra time I do that. But it is I'm almost at a point where if I get a call from an unknown number I don't even pick up anymore. Because you know it's 50% either somebody trying to sell you something that you don't want or somebody trying to scam you. So yes, and that exists in every industry. But back to your question. So card services where you can pay with your crypto, or at least you can pay with a card and that's charged against your crypto holdings, that exists, and we'll soon launch our own offering on that.
Okay,
and it's fully legitimate, regulated by the right authorities, fully clean.
It exists, you said?
Not in the UAE yet.
Not in the UAE.
UAE would be, as far as I think we're the first ones.
Okay,
But internationally, in different jurisdictions, there's bits and pieces already around.
Really? Okay, wow. That's really fascinating and really exciting as well. What are your kind of pain points? Let's talk a little bit about that, because it can't all be smooth sailing. Mm. The regulations are still kind of, you know, being set in place or you know, a bit more lenient here as well. Any pain points, any fears?
Look, the regulation is there and it's clear. I mean, it's gotten tighter and tighter the last 2 years, because whenever something happens globally, regulators have to react to make sure it doesn't happen again. So, and the same, by the way, is true in traditional finance. If you see the number of regulations and money laundering, terror finance, the requirements have gone up and up, and the cost of compliance in any financial services service provider has gone up tremendously over the last few years.
Yeah.
We do the same in crypto. So that's a constant, upbuild of additional features, aspects, controls, checks, balances. So that's a constant effort. And it's taken us, I think almost 2 years, a year and a half, to meet all the requirements. It's a long process if you're dealing with a strict and demanding regulator. But again, it's worth the price, because at the end of the day, investors know their money is safe.
Right. What about, besides the UAE, what about other Gulf countries?
The Gulf countries specifically?
Gulf countries or MENA perhaps.
Look, it's very different country to country. I think Bahrain obviously is already out there with the regulation as well.
Yeah.
And they have local players. I think most of the other countries are still contemplating, but haven't come out yet with regulations. Some explicitly ban it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's still, you have the full bandwidth, just like internationally, you have a bandwidth of very pro-crypto, and that's obviously UAE is the example. Mm-hmm. Do we still thinking about it? So it's currently not allowed. So
I think the, barriers like sanctions, for example, really, you know, shifted a lot of things for certain demographics, right? And that's why people were going more towards cryptocurrency and regulation as well. Do you have any predictions in terms of, you know, which countries might, go towards that direction, follow suit as well?
In terms of sanctions, or
no, I mean in terms of, you know, embracing cryptocurrency, like the UAE has.
Yeah. So look, I mean,
besides Bahrain, which was a surprise, but a pleasant one when
it's a pleasant surprise. I'm sure sooner or later. I mean, I hear Saudi is in an advanced stage of debating it. Qatar, I think, was originally not in favor of crypto and is coming around. So we'll see. I think time will tell. And as usual, the world to some degree looks to the US. US was very against crypto up until recently, but that's completely coming around now with the ETFs being approved, Bitcoin ETFs being approved. Yesterday, we had a Senate vote in the US that was essentially pro-crypto, allowing banks to do more with crypto. And even presidential candidate Trump has recently come around and said he's
looking
actually
looking forward to the CNN debate.
that should be interesting. And crypto is now a major debate topic in the US elections. And on both sides of the aisle, people are in favor of crypto. Yeah. And I think with the US shifting, that has a ripple through effect on the rest of the world. Europe has already released regulation. It's called MiCA, allowing and regulating crypto in all of Europe. We already have Singapore. Hong Kong has come around now. Japan has the regulation. We see South Korea. I mean, country by country is pro-crypto. So I think it's a matter of time till others come around. There might still be country-specific restrictions. I mean, some emerging markets specifically have issues with their trade deficits and monetary policies and general monetary regulations and restrictions that might equally apply to crypto. But then that's not a crypto-specific problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Overall, globally, I see more and more. It's coming around. And when you compare it to 5 years ago, 3 years ago, now, I think we're in a very, very good trajectory.
I do think we're going to see a lot of that. And you know, at the Qatar Economic Forum, we heard Noor Suede of Global Ventures talk on stage in one of the breakout sessions about how AI should be used to solve the boring problems. And I think with crypto, there's a lot of hype around it. There's, you know, really exciting events like, and I use the word exciting to be polite, but Token 24 was a total party, really. You know, open bar, online gaming, online, casinos, gambling, lottery, whatever you call it. What about the boring problems when it comes to cryptocurrency and the disadvantaged countries? Do you think we're going to see it go toward that space a little bit more?
Yeah, so I mean, crypto is typically has more use cases in emerging markets with a weaker banking system than, let's say, in Europe or the US. If I just want to transfer money from one person to another, let's say in the US or within the euro space, you can do that very easily and very quickly, almost real time, more or less around the clock now. It's gotten much, much better than it was a few years ago.
Yeah.
If I transfer money from here to, say, Nigeria, to Taiwan, to many other countries, it's a several-day process, it's costly, it can even take weeks. There's limitations to what you can do and what you can't do.
Yeah.
So that's where, or likewise, countries that have a strong inflation, let's say like Turkey or Argentina, people don't want to hold their assets in their own currency because they lose value very quickly overnight.
Yeah.
So those countries have much, much more use cases, and people get a lot more creative around what to do with it and how to use it.
Yeah.
And then to your point, in the gaming industry, crypto is very widely used as a means of in-game token and payments, cross-game tokens. The Web3 gaming is obviously a big topic. That's where I see a lot of demand picking up.
I can't believe how quickly the regulation moves, and we are kind of a little bit kind of running over time here, but just a couple of years ago, I think it was probably less than 5 years ago that the regulation was still, you know, it still wasn't clear. I think like the UAE is just moving so quickly in that regard. Future plans for M2, where is it going?
Yeah, so we've, let's say, growth, both in terms of new products being rolled out, as I said, new earn plans, the loans, the cards, new trading services. We'll have social trading, trading competitions. So it's a much, much richer product offering. We call ourselves, I mean, our slogan is the home of crypto. So we want to offer everything a user might want to do with crypto. That's nice. The product offering. And at the same time, we're expanding internationally. We're fighting for licenses in Europe right now, India, and several other jurisdictions to be fully compliant and transparent wherever we go.
Nice. I feel bad now that I didn't hop on the cryptocurrency wave.
Some people
there's
think
still time.
Exactly. Some people think, oh my God, it's been around for 15 years. It's too late. I missed the train.
Yeah.
I think the reality is it's still very, very early. It's still a small proportion of the global population uses crypto. Financial services institutions are only starting to pick it up. So I think it's still early on in the game.
Still early on. No financial advice, but no. But yeah, never too late. late, but worth the wait is what I always say.
Exactly.
Stefan, thank you so much. The CEO of Abu Dhabi-based crypto exchange, M2. Thanks for joining us in the studio.
Thank you so much for having me, Lubna. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Get us wherever you get your podcasts, or if you would like the video version, if you're listening to this, you can get it on smashy.tv and follow us on all socials.